for this evening hour may be found in 2 Peter 2, the first three verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow in their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I really don't like to preach on this text, beloved, because there is really nothing positive in the whole text. It speaks only of false teachers. And that is in a way not very edifying for the church. And nevertheless, beloved, it is very important for always there are the false teachers. They ever arise again and although you may probably say that's true, but I will never listen to them. And although that may be true, we have still the calling, beloved, to keep the church of our Lord Jesus Christ pure, to protect the church from these false teachers that always arise in the church. That's our calling. Our calling is, beloved, to save and keep the truth, and always to confess the truth. And for that reason, it certainly is, although negatively, edifying, instructive for you as well as for me, to watch these false teachers and see how in the words of a text, as really in the whole chapter, the Apostle Peter characterizes them. And if you read the text, beloved, you'll find that there are several elements that need attention. Elements that I briefly can expressed under the theme, false teachers. And under that theme, beloved, it is possible to proclaim the word of God in my text, especially under three headings. The first is the life and the walk of these false teachers. That is expressed rather emphatically in the words of my text. Namely, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. These false teachers are not only teaching damnable heresies, but also walk according to them. And again, we read that in the third verse, through covetousness, they bring those false teachers into the church and cause the church to heed them, at least for a while. And secondly, beloved, we read in the words of our text of the content of their heresy. They are really twofold, damnable heresies, that is first, and denying the Lord that bought them. Those are the contents of their corruption, of their false teaching. But there is more. The apostle also calls our attention to the method they use in their false teaching. And that method is described in the first place by the term privily. That means they don't come openly, but privily. That's in verse 1. And in verse 3, the apostle tells us that they bring their false teachings with vain or feigned words. And finally, the text tells us what is the end of those false teachers, namely, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That, therefore, is the text. False teachers, the life, a walk, the teaching, the method of that teaching, and their end. First of all, beloved, therefore, we must call your attention to the life and the walk of these false teachers. That's important. Let me first remind you that according to the words of our text, Peter does not speak of the whole congregation or of the common members of the congregation, but emphatically of teachers, false teachers. That means, beloved, that false doctrine usually does not enter into the church by the members of the church, although they follow the teachers finally, but by those that have an official place in the church, the ministers, the elders, the professors of theology, and so on and so forth. Those that have an official place in the church, they bring in false teaching. Not the members of the church in the first place. That we must remember. And, beloved, I want to call your attention a moment to the fact that the teaching of these false teachers is not personal, but the life is personal. It is not so that they first bring in damnable heresies and then follow those damnable heresies, but I tell you, it's just the other way. Just exactly the other way. The life of these teachers is first. Not that teaching. Never is. And the life of these false teachers is described in the words of my text. And very plainly so, beloved. It is described as being walking a pernicious way. Pernicious way. And the original of that word pernicious is really a damnable. Not only false, but destructive ways. Ways, beloved, that have their origin and not in God and not in the Word of God, but that have their origin really in hell. Pernicious ways. Mark you well, these pernicious ways, beloved, the false teachers love. In fact, they create them. They don't love the word of truth, never. Never do heretics love the word of truth, no matter who and no matter what in the history of the church. No matter whether the church moves in the direction of those false teachers or not, these teachers never love the truth and never will walk in the way of the truth. The reason is, beloved, in one word, that they are worldly minded. That they are not filled with the life of Zion and Jerusalem. They do not look for the realization of God's kingdom and government. And they do not even want it. They are carnal. Carnal in mind and heart, and in all their walk. And because they are carnal, they walk carnally in their pernicious ways. Not only that, but the text tells us that they are covetous. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That's second. First, the text tells us that their ways are pernicious, having their origin in the devil and in hell. These ways. Secondly, the text tells us that they walk in a way of covetousness. You know what that means. It means, beloved, that they want the world. They don't want Christ. They don't want His word. They don't want the church. They want the world. They love the world. They love the wealth of the world, money. They love the treasures and pleasures of the world. They try to obtain as much as possible of the world rather than of Christ, of the church, of salvation, of which they have no spiritual knowledge. They don't. Also, we may say, beloved, that the Apostle Peter describes the worldliness and the worldly mindedness of these false teachers when he says that they make merchandise of you. That is, they use their position in the church in order to enrich themselves and to gain more and more of the world. They like your money, they like your position, they like all that you can give them, beloved. They are false teachers, and therefore they make merchandise of you. And of course, also of the gospel. They make merchandise of the gospel. You understand? You can easily understand, beloved, that it is from that motive, the motive of worldly mindedness, that these false teachers teach. Always. Life is first and teaching follows, not the reverse. Besides, the text tells us, beloved, that for the sake of these false teachers, the truth shall be evil spoken of. That is one of the reasons why you must know those false teachers, and why you must recognize them and cast them out. Have nothing to do as a church or as members of the church with false teachers, beloved. Have nothing to do with them. Don't pity them, even if they finally are sent to destruction. The Lord doesn't, and you shouldn't. but don't follow in their pernicious way. That is the kind of life of the false teachers as they are described in the words of my text. What do they teach? Remember, beloved, there are all kinds of false teachers, especially in the day in which we live. But there always have been all kinds of false teachers. All kinds of them. One denies this and another denies that, because after all, the teaching of these false teachers is negative. It isn't positive. It's negative. And therefore, we may say in general that the content of the teaching, the preaching, is always negative. And the Apostle Peter expresses this. First of all, by speaking of damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. And that means, in the first place, beloved, that these heresies of which the Apostle speaks are of such a nature that they lead unto damnation. They have their origin in damnation. That's the reason, too, why they are called damnable heresies. They come from hell. They come from the devil. No matter how small the error may be, beloved, the error that denies the truth of the Word of God is always important. Nevertheless, there is a difference. But they all heresy, any heresy, that's the meaning of the words of my text. Any heresy does not have its origin in God, but in the devil. Any heresy, any untruth, in contrast with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, always has its origin in hell. And that's why the apostle calls it damnable. And in the second place, they are damnable heresies because they lead to destruction. Just follow the way of these damnable heresies, and the end is hell, beloved. Nothing else. But there is one other thing which the text informs us of. And it is that these heresies of which the apostle speaks are a fundamental error, that they deny that the Lord had bought them. That, of course, you understand, is fundamental. When we read in the text that the Lord had bought them, as stands to reason, that this cannot mean, beloved, that the Lord had atoned for these false teachers, that, as we said this morning, that the Lord had satisfied on their cursed tree for these false teachers. It doesn't mean that the Lord has bought them by his precious blood in order that they might become people of God. We know different from our scripture, different from every part of scripture. The Lord bought his own sheep, beloved. No more. When he shed his lifeblood on the accursed tree, he carried in his heart those whom the Father had given him. Not one more or less. Elect. The Lord did not buy the reprobate. He didn't. Hence, when we read the words of our text, denying the Lord that bought them, it certainly doesn't mean that the heretics were objectively bought by Christ, and that now it was up to them whether they want to become sheep or not. That is a heresy of Arminianism, and Pelagianism, but it is quite contrary to Scripture. Jesus loved his own. Not one more, not one less. And every teacher, whether you hear him personally, or whether you hear him over the radio, that denies the truth that Christ bought his own sheep and that he bought no one else. You may cast him out of your house and out of the church. And nor does it mean, beloved, that these false teachers imagine for a while that they belong to them, that the Lord had bought for his own. Also, that is quite impossible. No one can imagine that he is bought with the blood of Lamb to be one of Christ's own people. Imagine it. And that afterward he denies it. That is also absolutely impossible. That are the sheep of Jesus Christ, beloved. Know it. They know it. They know that they don't belong to the world, but to Christ. They know that they don't care to walk in the way of the world. But in the way of eternal life or salvation.
They know.
Oh, yes, they know. Oh, some may be stronger than others. But because of the testimony of the Word of God and by the testimony of the Spirit of the heart, they do just the same. So that cannot be the interpretation either. Not so that the false teachers for a while lived in the imagination that they were bought by the Lord and that afterward they denied that the Lord had bought them. That's not the idea. But first of all, beloved, when we read in the text, denying that the Lord had bought them, it means, and it means emphatically, that they deny the truth of atonement, the truth of the cross. They deny, therefore, that it was necessary for Christ to pay the price in his own death on the cross for those that were bought by him. They deny that. And you understand, of course, denying that, denying that it was absolutely impossible for any man to have a place among those that belong to Jesus Christ, of anyone or anyone to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. The work of atonement is necessary because, beloved, Christ had to make satisfaction, and they deny it. And while they deny that, it stands to reason, beloved, that they must deny all the rest of the truth of salvation. They deny total depravity. They deny that a man is born, conceived and born in sin. They deny that a man must be bought by the blood of Jesus Christ in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They deny it all. In other words, beloved, you cannot deny one element of the truth and save the other. Oh, I wish you would put that in your mind and never forget it. You must keep the whole truth in your heart and mind, in order that you may not even for a time fall away to the false teachers. You must be able to recognize them. And therefore, beloved, remember that one principle that is not only a principle in theory, but that is also a principle in practice, that when one denies one fundamental error of the truth, I mean, if one denies one of the fundamental principles of the truth, he must deny everything else. That's inevitable. Absolutely inevitable. And secondly, These false teachers not only deny the truth of atonement and the necessity of satisfaction, but they also denied, beloved, that there was any need for being bought by Christ. No need. No need of Christ being the price, so that Christ bought his own sheep. No need. And therefore, that is the meaning of this rather important phrase or clause, beloved. Denying that the Lord that bought them, denying the Lord that bought them. Principally, really, every heretic must deny that, beloved. And you know, that has always been one of the fundamental heresies from the beginning. Almost from the very beginning of church history. And even before the new dispensation, before the old prophets, that was already one of the fundamental heresies. Oh, you know, the Church of Rome denied it all. Denied it all, beloved. Oh, they don't say that, but they do. The Church of Rome places all kinds of things instead of the blood of Christ by which the sheep of Christ must be bought. And there, and also there, as an example, let the false teachers make merchandise of the people of God. You can better go to the Church of Rome than anybody else. A man, according to Rome, goes to purgatory before he goes to heaven. And you can pay the money for that poor soul in purgatory until he is released. That's Roman Catholicism. And so there are many, many more. But, beloved, the truth you must maintain in the depth of your heart and mind in order to gainsay these false teachers and stick to the truth of salvation. Another element, very important, that you must remember, is expressed in the words of my text by speaking of feigned words. And of the fact that these heretics, these false teachers, tried to cover up what they teach. They cover it up. That's very evident from the term privilege. Who privily bring in damnable heresies. Privily. That means, first of all, beloved, that those heretics, those false teachers, began by speaking the truth. They spoke the truth for a while. They did not start to deny that the Lord had bought his church by blood, by his own precious blood. They didn't stop it. Oh, no. The Bible is on the pulpit of the false church, beloved. And they even confessed the faith, the holy Catholic faith with us. No matter how false teachers, how false the teachers are, they do. Secondly, they gradually begin to attack the truth. Gradually, beloved. You have the striking example of it at the time of 1618-19 in the Synod of Dordrecht and before. The Arminians certainly taught that Christ was by his people and that he did buy his people by his precious blood. But then they said, but, and then follows the condition, oh yeah, namely, oh, Christ has bought you by his precious blood. No question about that. But if you want to, that's next. But if you persevere, that's next. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if, don't you see, if, and it stands to reason, beloved, that as soon as the power to accept Christ, as all the Armenian preachers do today, over the radio, you can hear it tonight and every day almost, accept Christ, oh, accept Christ. I beg you to accept Christ. As soon as these false Armenian teachers put that condition, that but it stands to reason that they must have more buts and more conditions, that they cannot maintain the doctrine of total depravity. They cannot. They must deny, they must maintain that there is still some good in man, and that by the light that is still in man, he can go further and accept Christ when he offers himself to do in the gospel. That's the Arminian heresy. Fundamentally the same, beloved, is adopted by the Christian Reformed Church in 1924 when they made it an official doctrine that in the preaching of the gospel God showed his grace to all men. That's the heresy. Moreover, that the natural man, receives enough grace to do all kinds of good things in the world. That's point two and point three. And to mention no more, how our recent history, beloved, was fostered and initiated by the same heretic. And they tried to cover it up. They gradually made bolder statements. God promises every one of you salvation. If you believe, faith is a prerequisite to enter into the kingdom of God. So it is up to you. You believe. And although they would not say that, beloved, they would not say it openly, yet they put it under cover. That's also the meaning of what the apostle continues to write, namely, the feigned words. That really means, beloved, in the Greek, plastic words, plastic. That means words that can be molded. Molded in such a way that they seem to support the truth of the Word of God, and yet they don't. Feigned words. It seems as if these false teachers firmly believe in the Word of God, and yet they don't. Plastic words. Remember that, beloved. Remember that no true teacher has any need of covering up. He can speak openly. He can speak emphatically of the truth of Scripture without any covering up, without using the method of speaking privily, and without speaking with feigned words, plastic words, to fool the congregation. No true preacher of the gospel, no true teacher of the Word of God has any need of that method. He speaks freely and openly of the entire truth of the Word of God. And so, I warn you, when anyone comes privily to you, when anyone covers up the truth, when anyone comes with feigned words to cover up his heresy, I warn you, take him not into your house. Have absolutely no fellowship with him. And cast him out of the church. or leave him. And gather your own church based on the truth of the Word of God. The end of those damnable heretics is hell. The apostle says in the last part of my text that time lingereth not. That is, the time when these false teachers shall be judged lingereth not. God is not delayed. God is not slow concerning, not only concerning the promise, but also concerning the judgment of the wicked. The judgment of those false teachers in the church. It looks that way, doesn't it? Oh, how many false prophets there were in the past. In the time of the old dispensation, how many false teachers have sprung up in the church to deceive the people of God, which, by the way, they can never do. Oh no, there is no danger of that, beloved. I do not preach this because the people of God are in danger to follow these false teachers. Oh no. Oh, they may probably think for a time that's pretty good, but soon they will find that it is heresy and that they are teaching false doctrine, and the people of God will not truly follow them, don't ever think so. They won't. I do not speak because of the danger, not the spirit, but I speak because, beloved, you must stand in the truth. You must confess the truth. You must confess the truth in the church and in the world. You must confess the truth to the glory of God. That's the whole thing. And for that, I say much more. Get out of the way of those false teachers. It may seem as if the judgment lingereth long, but after all, God hastens to the end. He hastens to the time when the wickedness of these false teachers shall have been filled, and then the judgment, and then the destruction, and then the salvation of the church. In everlasting life and glory. So, I admonish you once more, get out of the way of these false teachers. Have no fellowship with their wicked teaching. But stand in the truth until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we pray, give us grace to understand thy word and to keep it in our hearts. Give us grace to walk according to thy word and not to walk in the way of corruption and of false teaching, but that we may glorify thee and long for the day when we shall be glorified forever. When the darkness is past, and it shall be only light in thy everlasting kingdom. Amen.